Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Saturday. I'm not sure I've said that before. The studio caught fire, quite literally. Not an expression. A fire broke out in the studio. Matt, we couldn't have yesterday's show, but here we are for a weekend special, and I will tell you right now, today's show is brought to you by ZipRecruiters. Let me ask you a question. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Right now, I'm telling you, go to ZipRecruiter. You can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then the powerful technological efficiency matches the right people to your job. Better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike the other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, for my listeners, you can post jobs at ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen. One more time, for free, ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen. All right, guys, I'm very sorry the studio caught fire. Jacob's in here today. He hasn't said a whole lot about it. Jacob, are you responsible for this a little bit? Were your hands behind this?
As far as starting the fire?
Well, no. You are the one that informed me. I mean, the police themselves will tell you the person that made the call is the first suspect. I mean, not for nothing, but you are the one that informed me.
Well, I was informed by my boss who said the studio is the fire was small. It was like an HVAC caught fire, and I don't think it was that big, but basically the fire department couldn't turn off the electricity or the pump that fuels the HVAC. So literally it was mostly just smoke was just billowing into the studio. And I saw a few like videos, not of the fire itself, but people trying to get into this office floor. And they're all standing downstairs. And these are guys who are like the newsroom who kind of can't be away from their jobs, but they're being told to.
Sure.
And it was like, was it really that bad? I mean, I didn't see it. I've talked to a few people who are like, oh, yeah, we've been up since like 4 o'clock in the morning trying to clear everyone out. And people were trying to decide, you know, should we actually try to brave the smoke a little bit? I mean, it's smoke. What's the worst thing that can happen? Well, that's a moot point, asphyxiation. But it wasn't the prettiest sight. But now it's cleared up.
What about alarms? Good. I mean, do we got water coming out of the sprinkler system and alarms going off, or what's the deal?
Well, I heard that the alarms were going off, and from the way I heard, here's how I understand what happened: is the engineering department, which I'm a part of, gets notified if the building alarms go off, and this wasn't just our floor; this was the entire building. The alarms went off, so The fire department, of course, will respond to the building department, but then our floor will be responding also to our engineering department will respond to our floor being on alerted. So they got a notice that, yikes, the smoke alarm at least has gone off. I don't know if the sprinkler's gone off. I mean, it looks dry in here. I mean, that thing looks like it didn't do anything. So
I don't see a damn sign that there was a fire in here. I'm taking everybody's word for it. All I know is I got a text, don't come in today, there's a fire. And my show got canceled. And now that I'm hearing your explanation for it, I don't know. I don't know if I'm glad I didn't come and deal with the smoke or if I'm feeling a little bit slighted. It's one of the two. I'm not sure. But what's the old expression? Better safe than sorry, right?
Yeah.
All right, let me get into the good news. Look, if I would have come in yesterday, we would have talked. I really only there was only one thing in the world of the free format fighting systems to discuss, which was a matchup between Anderson Silva and Kelvin Gastelum. Great, love it. Kelvin's coming off a loss. Anderson's coming off a win. I don't know that I saw this matchup coming, but we were dangled this a little bit before. Kelvin called out Anderson. Great, let's do the match. You got a thought on that?
That nothing that except that this is it's a funny one. It really is. It's not one that you would expect those names to really get involved with.
If you ran it back 2 months, sure. But like, right now, it like surprised me.
If Gastelum had maybe won a couple, maybe, down the road. But is there any bad blood between these guys at all?
No.
Or is it just like, hey, I want to fight you.
Yeah, that's right. And for all the reasons that you just stated, and my mind's the same place as yours, all the reasons that you just said is actually what I really like about this match. One thing I love about MMA, Coker and Dana can make any damn fight they want. And particularly when there's no title or no internship on the line, it gets even looser. And in the old day, even if you went back 3 or 4 years, you probably wouldn't see this match. But Kelvin wants to fight Anderson. Anderson still wants to fight Kelvin. I'm on board. Let's make the match. And they did. So I don't really give a damn if one guy's coming off a win or one guy's coming off a loss. It makes no difference to me. If two guys want to fight each other, enough reason for me.
Is this a main card event?
Oh, gee, I would have to think it's a main event, which is relevant to the point because that would change it into 5 rounds. And I don't know that as a fact. And that information could be out, and I just didn't catch it, so I can't answer your question. But I just know that match is made.
Are they fighting for anything, or is this just straight-up old-fashioned grudge match?
Straight-up old-fashioned, yeah, because it's hard to say even if a contendership's on the line. In one hand, Kelvin, you know, got slowed down a little bit with Chris Weidman. And on the other hand, Anderson Silva's always a choice to throw in there for a title fight. So I don't think we're going to hear that kind of dialogue. I think we're just going to see, to the words you used, a good old-fashioned fist fight. But I'm compelled by it, and I do think it's interesting. Here's the other side of where I was going with that. That was about all I had yesterday. Other than that, it would have been, hi, how are you? And we would have discussed stuff and come up with things. However, because here we are on Saturday, I actually do have a little something I wouldn't have had until next week. They did open workouts. Floyd Mayweather went first. Conor McGregor went second. Now, I watched Floyd's, but I got to cover Conor's with ESPN. There's some moving parts here. Okay, now you know better than anybody sitting in here with my absolute indignant testimony that Conor has no chance. I'm not backing off of that, but the world of promotions, it's a damn big thing, okay? It really is a big thing. I will tell you this. Conor looked awesome. There is no other word. I could throw fantastic out there. I could throw amazing. Whatever the highest praise I could give, this is how he looked. Now, he's not sparring. Okay, it's mitts, it's these other things, but he still looked awesome. And let's break him down real fast. When Floyd went, and I've seen other Floyd open workouts, he doesn't show off too much. He does a good workout, he pushes himself to a certain extent, but he's there to talk to the kid. It's a media day, and he takes it like a media day. It's fun, but you don't get a real solid feel for where Floyd's at. He just kind of grinds through a workout, and he talks to the media. He's fun. Conor, on the other hand, how do I want to analyze this? He pushed a little bit more. And I guess here was the thing. I've seen open workouts by both. I've been in them with Conor. And I know everybody comes in with a different mindset. What am I going to do when all the cameras are gone? And some guys are like, the last thing I'm going to do is anything that I'm really going to do. Now, I can put myself in this spot. When they give you the open workout, but you have a workout that day anyway, you've only got so much energy because you're cutting weight and the fight's coming up, your time's a little bit valuable. Man, I've actually got to use that workout as my real workout. So I'm not going to hold anything back. This is the workout. If the cameras are rolling, then to hell with it. Here's what it is. I don't know that either one of these guys, because they're 3 weeks prior to the fight, were under that same time restraint that I've been in, where I'm doing it one day before the weigh-in, which makes up for 2 days before the fight. Conor, in this workout, only did boxing. Now, we've never seen him do that. I've never seen him in there with the boxing shoes on and only doing boxing. He's always throwing the kicks, or he's working a little takedown. He's doing MMA. So it was a little bit different, which I appreciated. But I will tell you this. You want to talk about a guy that was crisp. You want to talk about a guy that was sharp. And anybody that is hanging their hat on, Conor's going to give him some problems because his punches are weird, and it's because it's not what Floyd is used to. They're right. He was throwing the same combinations that boxers throw. By example, a jab followed by a cross, and then in comes the hook, or it could be traded with the uppercut. Rinse and repeat. couple of jabs followed by a cross, and then you can choose whether you wanted to uppercut or hook, rinse and repeat. But they were from some different angles. They really were. There was some stuff that Floyd, guaranteed, has already sat down and watched this, and he's talked about it with his team the same as I'm talking about with you. And he said, look, that's not the way the 49 men before I fought threw a hook. It's just not. Is it worse? Maybe. Is it better? Maybe. But is it different? Yes. And that in lies a problem and a point for Connor. Can that swing the bat? I don't think so. I don't think it can swing about. But can it make him process? You know, we had Cowboy Cerrone on here a week ago, and Cowboy said, look, it's going to take Floyd a little bit of time in that computer of a brain of his to break down all of the data and figure out what Connor's doing, but he's going to do it in less than two rounds and start picking him apart. I drink to that. I fully co-sign what Cowboy's saying. But he is right that that's going to have to happen. This is not, okay, this is a cross between Berto and a cross between Mosley. No, it's not. This is a different deal. Connor has given MMA guys problems because of his weird angles. The first time I ever heard about Connor McGregor, he had already fought. It was an undercard fight. I missed it. I go into the green room at Fox, and Kenny Florian is telling me, hey, did you see this guy, Connor McGregor? I'm saying, no, I didn't. He says, oh, this guy can be champion. This guy is special. Why, Kenny? I need what? Well, because he throws from weird angles. And Kenny kept saying that about these angles that he throws from. And Kenny understands fighting a little bit more intellectually than a lot of people. I would put him up there with a Dominic Cruz. He's a smart guy. He sees things a little bit differently. Over time, I was able to see what Kenny saw after one experience of witnessing Conor on an undercard. The next time I hear about this Conor McGregor, I'm in a bar in L.A. Michael Bisping walks in and says, have you seen this Conor McGregor? I say, no, but Kenny was just talking about him. What's up? And he goes, this guy can be champion. Bisping had the same take. He was talking about these angles that he throws shots from, when he throws these shots, where his head goes, where his body's at, what you have as an opponent to try to counter and throw back at. Again, Bisping was ahead of me. I had to see it a few times before I sit back and I get what you, I get what Kenny, and I get what everybody else has seen. Working and watching Connor's open workout, Floyd's got a problem. And I'm not doing an about face. I don't want this to say, I wish you guys could see Jacob staring at me like, who in the hell are you all of a sudden? I know I sound like a different guy today. I'm not proposing that it can change things. I'm just proposing that what everybody else has hypothesized, or other people have hypothesized, and saying that it is going to be different shots that Floyd is going to have to deal with. Paulie Malignaggi came out after sparring with him. He kind of said some of that same stuff. Hey, it took a whole workout for me to get used to this guy, and I finally did, but Floyd doesn't have that opportunity. He doesn't get two or three workouts. We've seen some strange guys come along, even in the world of MMA. Lyoto Machida starts it. Wonderboy Thompson. These guys that have these styles that, yeah, if you could rematch them or fight them three or four or five times or be one of their training partners, maybe you could run through them. But not having that opportunity, they could go out and grab a world championship in devastating fashion because they're bringing something different to the table. It doesn't matter if they're a better fighter or if it's a better style. If it works that night, and that's what Floyd's up against. He doesn't have the advantage that Paulie Malignaggi has to work out with him once, go back, think about it, and come back in and have a totally different experience. He only gets this one time. I think it's a fair talking point. And when I was watching Connor, I was just seeing that. I was having flashbacks of my conversation in the bar with Bisping, of my conversation in the green room with Kenny Florian, these angles that they're talking about. I guess here's my final analysis for you, Jacob, and I made this point to the great Teddy Atlas. I said, look, Teddy and I are in agreement. Connor is up against it, and Floyd has pretty easy work in front of him. However, I would offer that that easy work is not as easy of work as perhaps we once believed. Connor's in great shape. He's coming to win. Nobody can question his confidence. Confidence is over. It is so greatly overrated in sport. Never in the history of sport has a judge, an official, or a referee ever marked a point for a guy because he was more confident. People love to talk about, to hell with confidence. Your skills are your skills. However, he does believe he can win. And when you're in great shape and you can push hard the whole time, you have the right to have a little added pep in your step. That's where confidence comes from. It comes from cardio. Can you even hold up? Can you go out there and push? Can you last when everybody else is fading? I think the answer might be yes. And this is a different environment for Connor, but I think the answer might be yes. And to go back to how crisp and how sharp and how different. And I'm really trying to get you to understand, and I don't know if rhetorically I'm succeeding, but these are different punches that Connor's throwing. Same combination of jab, followed by cross, followed by hook or uppercut, rinse and repeat. Same spin off when you're done, same reset, jab to distract the guy, same feints. It's the same thing, but they're being done a little bit different. Am I articulating that for you at all in a way that you can follow? Because I saw it with my eyes, but I've seen this for 20-some years. So I want the listener who doesn't have the benefit of seeing me punch the air for you right now to, it's different. Is it better? I don't know. It is different, and Floyd's going to have to deal with it. And I was very, very impressed with what I saw.
Hey, everyone. It's former WWE host Lillian Garcia. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever wonder how your favorite stars make it to the big time? Then come check out my new show, Chasing Glory, with Lillian Garcia on podcastone.com. Hear me chat with some of your favorite athletes and entertainers about their rise to the top. It's about to get real, raw, and inspiring. So join me for new episodes every Monday on podcastone.com, the new Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Jail Sonnen.
To go back to what you said about Floyd having more pressure on him than Connor, and the champ always has more pressure than the underdog. That's always been. He's going to win. No one questions that. It would take literally a straight out of heaven miracle for Connor to win. You know, it's hard to, just a little side tangent. I wonder if Connor actually knows that or if he even cares at this point. It's possible that he does know, and he's just like, screw it. I'm literally just going to go out and do the best I can, which I tend to believe more. However, the pressure's on Floyd to hold up not just himself, but you've said before, boxing. That one or two rounds now of him trying to figure out what in the heck Connor's throwing at him, or how in the world do I beat this, because it is new and it's different. Yeah, maybe in that third or fourth round he crushes him, but he's... the pressure's on him to kill him in the first or second round.
Yes.
So now that's, in a way, that's almost what Connor needed. Just that one round enough to make him go, what are you doing here?
Right.
Make him think a little bit. And Connor's like, yeah, that's all I'll take. So that being said, Connor's kind of won the PR battle. He's won the moving forward battle. Does this give MMA a better step up because Connor at least gave the best boxer in the world a little run for his money for a couple rounds? Maybe he wasn't going to win, but he made him go, yay, what's this guy dancing in front of me? Where's his right arm? Where's his left arm coming from? What's he doing with his legs? How is he moving like that? Maybe he'll figure it out. But he had to figure it out.
Yeah, but he had to figure it out. Now, I would ask you this, too. What is a win for Connor? I mean, I get it that a win for Connor is that you get your hand raised at the end of the night. But is that true? I mean, let's say right now I tell you Connor McGregor made it to the eighth round with Floyd Mayweather. Doesn't your jaw drop a little bit and you go, oh, my God, that is incredible. That's further than Shambay Mitchell, a former world champion, made it with Floyd Mayweather. I mean, wouldn't you be impressed? You know, let me put myself, if I had to fight Mike Tyson in the 80s when he was the man and I made it to the eighth round and I get cleaned up, but I make it to the eighth round. When I walk here and see you, aren't you patting me on the back? Aren't you like, oh my God, Chael, that was amazing. I mean, that's a win for me, right? I would have some pep in my step. I'd walk in here. I'd be feeling great. And you'd be saying, great job. And so would other people as I was coming in. Wouldn't they? I mean, that would be a win, no?
Yeah, so two thoughts about that. Connor has kind of already won the PR battle. I mean, you saw you were just talking about the press conferences. Everyone's cheering Connor all over the world. But two, that's the difference between winning against Connor and beating Connor. So it's not enough for Floyd to...
No. Finish this thought. This is brilliant. Finish this thought.
This is the difference between beating Connor and winning against Connor. This is... Floyd can't just win against Connor. He has to beat him. He has to beat him in the first... At most the second round. preferably the first round. He has to beat him. Yes, Floyd is going to win, but he's not going to feel good about it if it goes beyond two rounds. Like, Floyd's going to have problems at that point. And Connor's just going to be like, I just gave the champ a run for his money. Who cares if I actually got my hand raised? Yeah, same thing. Everyone's going to be patting. They're already patting him on the back because he wanted to take on Floyd.
Yeah, I've heard people. I don't want to be wrong on this because this is a thing where popular opinion is right. What, you know, you go take a poll of the people, and if there's more than 51%, that's the right answer. It's not quantifiable. In my opinion, and I assumed other people had this opinion, but I found out I'm wrong. In my opinion, Connor's already won, and it had nothing to do with the money. What I'm talking about is for me, his stock goes up. You're talking about a man of courage. You say whatever you want about Connor and his mouth and his bravado and all these different things. He took on Jose Aldo, who nobody else could come close with. Whether he caught him and got lucky or not, he walked out there and did it. And in this case, it turns out he won. He then leaves weight classes. He leaves weight classes and takes on Eddie Alvarez for world champion. He leaves weight class. He takes on Nate Diaz. He stays in that weight class, takes on Nate again. Now he leaves an entire sport and takes on the greatest to have ever done it. For my money, it just doesn't matter what happens. There's a respect factor, and it's not a cash grab in that. He's not walking out there and saying, pin me, pay me. The check, just don't rubberize the check. He's not doing that. He's working his ass off. He is doing everything he can. He's running the miles. He's pumping the weights. He's sparring the rounds. He's getting up early. He's going to bed late. He's eating right. I mean, you go down the list. He is sacrificing and trying everything he can do that's within his control to have success. I'm the one taking it off of his back. He wouldn't agree with me if he was sitting here. He'd go, no, this is either I win or I don't. He's not saying that. I'm saying these words. Well, Connor, I don't know about that. I'm as competitive as anybody. I understand capitalism, and you got to get ahead and have more points than the other guy. I get the whole thing. But golly, good job. Just good job. You know, there's really something special that's already happened here. And I do not believe he has a chance, but I do believe it's not as easy of work as perhaps the great Teddy Atlas or perhaps the great Floyd Mayweather once thought it was. And I got to go back to Bisping and to Florian, who were the very first guys that used this word, angles. Look at his angles. I didn't even fully understood what that meant at the time, but I do now. I've seen enough tape. I get it now. He's coming at you from different angles. Jake, I shared with you when the Roy Jones Jr. sweepstakes was going around, who's going to fight Roy, and my name got thrown into it. We're supposed to go off to Abu Dhabi and fight on this rooftop and this whole bit, and the fight ends up not coming about. I agreed to it, but when I agreed, I swallowed real deep and thought, this is going to suck. This is going to be a really bad experience, but I'm in. Let's go try it. I call my coach, I call Clayton, and Clayton goes, well, I don't agree with you. You know, I think you're catching Roy at a good time. We said some different opinions, but I finally saw Roy wasn't as quick to the table as I was. He came to the table, but he wasn't as quick. And I'm scratching my head going, okay, Roy, what is it you think's going to happen? Because I'm pretty sure how this story ends. And I talked to him one time, well removed from this. We're in the lobby of a hotel, and I said, hey, I got to know. When we were supposed to fight, what was it that had you hesitating? And he said, it's the MMA angles. The angles you guys throw your hook is not what we throw. The way you throw your shots is not the way we throw it. So to prepare for that would be, for me, like preparing for something else other than boxing. I didn't really get it when Roy said it to me because I'm still looking at him going, man, this is what you do. But over time, and as we advance into this fight, I am starting to see it. And does that make a huge advantage for Connor and a disadvantage to Floyd? Maybe not. Maybe we find out those different angles are wrong for the sweet science. But it is an interesting talking point, right? I feel like I'm even seeing your body language change as I'm telling you this now. I feel like you're going, oh, well, maybe this does. I don't know the damn answer. I don't know it myself. But what I can tell you from the open workout is it is a real thing. There is some stuff Floyd's going to have to deal with, and he's going to have no chance, much like the guys in MMA that had to face Machida, much like the guys in MMA that have to face Stephen Thompson. When you have these guys with very unique and unseen styles, it really doesn't matter who's better. You've got to be able to respond on the fly that night. When I bring up Machida, when I bring in Stephen Thompson, to go one step further, I had two teammates fight Machida. It was a huge problem to prepare for this guy because there's only one guy that Machida's, and it's Machida. So meaning we could not bring in workout partners to do what he does. Stephen Thompson, same problem. When Tyron Woodley fought him, he did the best he could with Sage Northcutt because he said he had a karate background, and Stephen Thompson comes from a karate background. He just did the best that he could, but that's all you can do. No one fights like Stephen Thompson but Stephen Thompson, and you've got to figure it out that night in the ring on the fly. And Conor didn't bring in the MMA guys that are all over Vegas like we were told he was going to do. He didn't actually do it. He ended up staying with boxing guys. Why? I don't know. He's in the hotbed. These guys are everywhere. Kevin Lee was in studio 2 days ago, said I was one of those guys. I got brought in. I went to the gym, but he ended up not getting the ring with me. So he either sees a weakness there that, hey, I don't have to worry about. That's a problem right out of the gate, right? What'd Bruce Lee tell us? You'd expect the unexpected. There's a lot of truth to that statement. So he either sees something that he just doesn't have to worry about, or he's not going to be ready for it. That isn't necessarily for Floyd, maybe for Connor, maybe Floyd's right. Maybe this is just something I don't need to worry about. But when I watched Connor, all I can tell you is he looked awesome. He had different angles. He was crisp. He was sharp. He was fit. He was excited. Got me excited. There you go. There's my 2 cents. I'm not really weighing in on a final opinion on this. I'm just telling you what happened. Floyd did his workout, same as we've seen many times before. Real straightforward. In your face, stays busy, doesn't throw a ton of power when he works the heavy bag and he works the mitts and the cameras around. He doesn't throw a ton of power. He just stays real busy. Connor does. He throws speed and he throws power and he moves his feet and he stays a little bit more focused. I'm more than giving you a final opinion of what I saw. I'm really just sharing with you what I saw.
It's kind of the whole thing. It's Connor would be just kind of reiterating in different words what you're saying. It's so bad, it's good, that kind of thing. It's so weird, it's going to be good. And then it's the same thing. It's not probably not going to be enough. No, it's not going to be enough to get a win, but it's not going to get him beaten, that's for sure. And let me ask you this. It's more hypothetical, but just addressing Connor's behavior. If we were in studio right now, he said, I'm going for the win. Okay. Well, this is a guy who, like you said, changed weight classes. He chased after the next level. Refresh my memory. Did he win his first round when he changed weight classes, or did he actually lose one or two?
Well, he lost to Nate Diaz.
Right.
He won the very first round of that contest, if that's what you're asking me, but he lost to Nate Diaz when he went all the way up to 170, but he fixed it. He did fix it. He got it back.
True. So now I'll throw you this. Suppose he loses. So he loses the match. I'm starting to wonder if he actually does retire. People say this is, even if you lost the fight, this is a good time to step away and just be the coolest guy who ever tried. Well, I'm not buying that much anymore. I almost see him just letting go of MMA at that point and being like, no, let's do a rematch. I'm going to beat boxing. I kind of see that happening now. He's young enough. He could do it.
It is very possible. And so many people that hypothesize on that, Jacob, think that Connor has to win for there to be a rematch. But that isn't actually true. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what storylines. You never know how it's going to play out. You never know what drama is going to unfold. You have to actually see the match. And it's not even as simple as, well, if Connor gives him a good solid run. Well, no, there's other things that can happen. There's other things that can happen that lead a storyline where the fans are going, you know what, I want to see this again. And I could offer you some suggestions of what leads to that. Instead of going down that road, I'll just tell you, we need to see the match. You can't really plan for what's going to happen August 27th or August 28th, Monday morning, until we see what happens on August 26th. We just can't. There is a lot of moving parts there. And if it's a one-off, it's a one-off. But I appreciate and I respect how serious Connor has taken this. The same can be said for Floyd, but we knew Floyd would do that. Connor, who's up against it, and walking into the lion's den, I mean, a lamb going to slaughter, make no mistake, is walking out there like a man. And he is preparing as absolute best he can like an athlete. And there's something to be said for it. And there it is. I want to make sure Connor gets that credit because he deserves it. All right, guys, I'll tell you what. On August 15th, A&E's Emmy-nominated groundbreaking docuseries, Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath returns for season two, 10 all new episodes. Leah, Scientology and the Aftermath follows Leah Remini along with, you know, Remini is a little hard to say. I say Remini sometimes, Jacob. Remini's a little hard in my defense, right? Everybody knows who Leah Remini is, but it's not an easy name. We all understand Scientology and the Aftermath. Why have you not ever corrected me, by the way? You're as guilty as I am. You're as guilty as I am of Remini. Remini, all right? Leah Remini. Scientology and the Aftermath. Look, guys, they're going to follow her along with other high-level former executives of the church as they delve deep into the shocking stories of abuse, heartbreak, and harassment experienced by those who have left Scientology and spoken publicly. This season, Leah continues her quest to give a voice to the victims of the Church of Scientology. The series also explores accounts from other members and leaders significantly impacted by the church's practices. If you want to see the first season is available right now, on demand, and in the A&E app. You don't want to miss it. August 15th, right around the corner. Get caught up on demand or in the app for Jacob, for the fire that kept us out yesterday. Enjoy your weekends. I won't keep you any longer. I'm Chael Sonnen. I'll see you Wednesday. And until then,
you're welcome. Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com. Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new, amazing app. This one's a game changer. There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon, Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife, Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more. Plus, every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen. And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more. So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself. Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcastone.com.